The house that Train built, Impulse Records, just added a new wing to its holy space, welcoming the artist Brandy Younger to the label, the formidable harpist, composer, friend to this show, and vibe creator of many styles of music beyond jazz, from classical to hip hop, soul. I mean, you just need to check out her bio, her credits, ranging from Micaiah McCraven, Moses Sumney, The Roots, and most recently, Salaam Remy. She celebrates her Impulse announcement, however, with a special Alice Coltrane live stream concert from Alice and John's Dix Hills home in Long Island on August 27th. And you can watch that by going to our Facebook page at WBGO. With all that said, it brings me great pleasure to welcome Brandy back to the checkout on WBGO. Hello, long-lost friend.
Hello, Simon.
How are you doing? And congratulations.
Thank you. I'm doing okay, considering. Anytime someone asks me that, I'm like, hey, I'm healthy, and I still have a home, so I'm not complaining.
You have so much good news to report, which makes you probably more the exception rather than the rule as far as what musicians are enduring right now. You got this little, you know, Impulse thing happening. you have another EP coming at the end of the year. You recently were appointed as artist faculty at your alma mater at NYU. I could go on and on and on, but I feel like all of this good news only paints half the picture of what's really going down in New York City.
Oh, totally. Totally.
But I feel like you have this interesting voice and instrument of these troubling times. You have a unique power to uplift people. And your music does just that. Case in point, I think I listened to your Alone Together duet, The Thing We Made Together, Toilet Paper Romance, more than any other song in our series.
No way.
What was on your mind when you wrote that song with the double bassist, Desron Douglas, also your partner? The mood of the piece doesn't exactly reflect the title.
Basically, this whole situation for musicians, it's like, we don't know whether to laugh or to cry, or to cry so much you just laugh, you know? And we didn't want to like play sad music in these little concerts we've been streaming. We wanted to play things, especially before, I mean, things just got dark. It was like COVID, it was race issues, and things just got darker and darker and darker. And in the beginning, it was everyone go shopping. Oh, there's no toilet paper in the grocery stores. People are hoarding toilet paper, and it became a thing. Dez is like, we gotta write this toilet paper love. Because, you know, I mean, yeah, we try to get toilet paper. We had some. Thank goodness my mom shops at Costco, and she goes and picks us toilet paper up. So we had some from before, but we looked for toilet paper and couldn't find any either. So it was just, all we could do was laugh to keep from crying.
Well, you make people like myself and so many others as part of your Brunch in the Crib series, which you can now go to your Patreon page. And Definitely, I encourage people to do that and watch their amazing, soothing, meditative, I mean, what adjective can I bring to it? your duos with Desron. Honestly, like, I would listen to your music in the height of stress and emotions that are going on, and it would balance me a little bit. So I imagine you've been getting a lot of messages from some of your fans. I can't be the only one that's reacting to your music this way. I'm just curious if you would share some of those messages.
Well, first, thank you, because, you know, we initially started doing these concerts just sort of because we're stuck in the house. We had a concert booked at Columbia, it didn't happen. We said, let's just do it in a living room. But the only reason we continued is because of what you just said, feedback from people at work, working through this, getting really depressed. And they were like, I'm coming here for therapy. And that, it just started to feel like more of a responsibility. And it wasn't for us, You know, we're joking around, having fun, trying new tunes out, but people really, it really hit people in a way that we never expected or even intended at first. And then it just grew organically.
What's interesting about what we just heard in TP Romance and then re-listening to your album from 2019, Soul Awakening, which was actually recorded in a much earlier time, you know, in 2013 and around that time, which you compiled all that music together. It feels like that album has an edge that I don't hear, for instance, on the Toilet TP Romance, at least the version you did for us. And so I'm wondering if you consider that album to have kind of an edge, and right now you're playing music to provide that sort of soothing voice in these stressful times. Are you making those calculated choices?
Well, with the album came from a different place because, you know, like you said, it was recorded a long time ago, and I never intended for it to take this long to come out. That wasn't part of the master plan, but sometimes life happens, and the life that happened in between recording and releasing were like two other recordings. So it just sort of got pushed by the wayside, but then something told me, you know, put this out. You kind of have to put it out. You have to put it out. And I was reluctant. You know, there are things that you listen back to that you feel you should do over, and, oh, I'll re-record this, I'll re-record that. And it got to the point where I was like, oh, I'm going to re-record all the tracks. And then I said, stop, just put it out. And then anything else?
I would have told you to do that. The album sounds amazing. Are you kidding me?
Thank you. I mean, I mean, you're listening to something all these years later, and you're like, oh, I was there. Oh, I can do this now. I can do it like this now, or I don't want that song on here. You know. So I mean, it is what it is. I'm thankful that I was able to get over that mental roadblock. And just go ahead and put it out, and that some people actually dug it. You know, I don't take that for granted at all.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of it right now. This is Respected Destroyer featuring Sean Jones. But I want to ask you, who is the Respected Destroyer you're referring to, or what?
You really want to know?
Yeah, of course.
So when I was... I have trouble coming up with titles to tunes. And I put everyone's name that I like close to me in the Wu-Tang name generator. And I put my little brother's name in the Wu-Tang name generator. And it said, you will now be known as Respected Destroyer. So yeah, that's where that came from. I know, it's silly.
I love it. Are you kidding me? I would laugh, but I didn't want to like laugh over you.
So
like
that's
I do so often.
Totally like, that's my brother's song. He thinks it's his, and he knows it. He doesn't even listen to my music, but he knows that.
So moving on to this Alice Coltrane gig, which I know you just love to talk about all the time. No, just kidding. we're listening to actually Blue Nile from your Soul Awakening recording. This live stream is taking place on August 27th from the Alice and John's Dix Hills home in Long Island. And what time is that happening again on August 27th?
It is streaming at 7 p.m.
And you can go to our Facebook page to watch that. But it feels like, you know, every jazz musician at a certain point in time in their life at some point have to reconcile with the Coltrane legacy one way or another. And for you, it's probably threefold, maybe more, fivefold, playing the harp as Alice did, now being signed to Impulse, you know, having a close relationship with Ravi, who's all over your record on Soul Awakening. But as true fans of your music and people that deeply listen, your artistry encompasses so much more than Coltrane with all of your collaborations. And Love of Music, Lauryn Hill, John Legend, Common, Drake, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, let's be frank here. I personally consider you, you know, maybe even more of a hip hop and classical child than jazz when all things are said and done. So this experience must be very complicated for you to navigate.
Yeah, it's complicated in ways, and in other ways, it's just, is flattering the word?
That's good.
Does that work? Because there's always going to be the parallel of Alice Coltrane and Dorothy Ashby. And these are my, actually, who I think Nate Chinnan gave me this word, lodestars. I learned that word from him. Because growing up, first of all, when you're a harpist, you're like already an outcast. Then you're a black harpist, you're more of an outcast. And then you're interested in something more or different than classical music, and it really starts to thin out, if you know what I'm saying. Not to date myself here, but you know, the internet wasn't always as prevalent as it is now. So growing up, finding examples wasn't easy. Wasn't easy. So these are the women, these are the instrumentalists that I looked up to. And it actually had nothing to do with them being woman. That was just a bonus. So it's extremely flattering. And it's funny you mentioned the hip hop stuff. That parallel follows me because most producers, they either ask for something Ashby-esque or Coltrane-esque. So what's coolest is that as time has gone on and working with so many producers, they start to become familiar with my own music where they're finally asking me to do Brandy. So that's finally coming to that point, which is exciting.
So it feels like you don't have any like real control of even your own artist's narrative. Does it feel like life has just sort of plotted out this path for you and you're just on for the ride?
It's so funny that you say that. Like, yeah, I feel like studying, you know, coming up musically, studying all the orchestral repertoire and the excerpts, and then like your life just going in this direction, you had to kind of just submit to it, you know? But at the same time, Terry Lynn Carrington actually kind of opened my eyes to the concept of trying to control your own narrative as an artist. You know, we had done a panel a couple of years ago for the Jazz Congress, which was about musicians that straddle the fence but are under the umbrella of jazz. And just in talking to folks on that panel, I think it was Michelle and Digiocello, Terry Lynn Carrington, Aaron Parks, and just sort of hearing each of them talk and their journey, maybe moving from what they were pigeonholed as, you know, it was really interesting to hear each of their stories and their journeys. So, you know, I'm okay with how things go there. Sometimes I do have to kind of say something because I don't like the total pigeonhole in either direction. People will say what they'll say and titles of articles will say what they'll say. Actually, never mind. I'm not even going to say this on radio because it's so...
Oh, you have to. You have to now. Come on. Like, just be anonymous.
One article was like from Bach to R. Kelly. And I was like, oh. You know? So when it gets to there, that's when I say something. That's when I have to say something, you know?
And thank you, Impulse Records, right? I mean, that's going to be massive for you, hopefully in the long run.
Yeah, I look forward to, you know, as a harpist, it's double weird, you know, because I play the harp. And I do look forward to growing along in this community and trying to broaden...
Your voice.
Yeah, not just my voice, but the voice of the instrument in a non-traditional situation. Because there are a lot of harpists out there trying to do more than what the quote norm is, but it's hard to get through.
To pivot on everything we've been talking about, let's listen to a new song you recently co-wrote and worked with the producer Salam Remy and D Nice, Tidra Moses, called Black Love. And I, quite frankly, I don't hear very much harp at all on this thing.
Well, co-wrote. I didn't say I played all over it.
Winter skies, don't you come my way. Cause I'm the type that like to feel the heat, baby, even in the midst of rain. See, all I'm saying is, gotta be worth the pain. Cause I'm the type that's flying on sky miles, I'm bound to fly, baby, if it ain't. See, all I'm saying is,
Brandi Younger, thank you so much for spending some time with us and to share this huge news, which will hopefully set you in a new stratosphere as a independent individual artist. Again, check out her Alice Coltrane birthday live stream on August 27th. Performing, no pressure, from the Alice and John's Dix Hills home in Alice and John Coltrane's Dix Hills home in Long Island at 7 p.m. And we will see you there. Thank you, Brandi.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon.
And we love you madly. Brandi Younger, right there, you heard some of her penmanship from her composerly point of view on that tune by Salam Remy and Brandi Younger, Black Love, with Salam Remy, Tidra Moses, and D Nice, the single. And we love you madly out there if you would take the time and subscribe to the Checkout podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or when you're there, why don't you just give us a review while you're at it? If this interview made you feel good, well, it'll make me feel good if you do just that. And if you want to get all of the updates of what we're doing around here, follow us at Checkout Jazz on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. I'm Simon Rettner. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. Thanks for checking us out.